It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day to come and be in the to study the Word of God. And you know, I hope that you have a church home and that you enjoy coming to church. A lot of folks today are beginning to think that the church is not important. It is very important. God tells us not to forsake the assembling. So I hope that you enjoy that time and you come. But I also would love for you to listen and enjoy the study that we have each week. And so please that you would join us with this study that you may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. We are studying Matthew chapter 5 is where we're located right now, Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes. We've almost got to the fifth verse, and we're going to start reading with verse 1 to kind of bring it together, and then we'll have a verse-by-verse study following that. So please that you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading here in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone number here is 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies, verse-by-verse studies are there, so I hope that you would look to them. Our Constitution is can be found there, and also the Plan of Salvation, and it is in written form, and also it can be listened to, whichever you prefer. And then also, if you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Once again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We read to the end of that section there, to the 12th verse, Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin with prayer and then start the study. Father, thank you that we can come and just enjoy this precious time together. I ask that you will just guide and lead us and show us your way and will. Speak to our hearts through your precious word. And when we look at the character that we should be, the attitudes that we should have, they are ways of life that can only, Father, come from you. And so we know we must be born again. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us today. Touch our hearts today and show us your way and will. First, bring us to your saving knowledge. Bring us to the salvation that you offer us. And then, dear Father, begin to grow us each and every day. So please, guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have dealt a little bit with the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But we're going to, as many times, kind of review just a little bit, and it's worth reviewing. We've got blessed are the poor in spirit in verse 3, and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, and now in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. It's a wonderful, wonderful statement. And as we look at that word, meek, it means to be gentle, to be humble, to be mild. It's totally and completely opposite of pride. So we need to understand that as we look at our life, we have three, this is the third class of happiness, you could say. Blessed, happy are you. And we find that the poor in spirit, and then mourning, and then meek. And so each one of those is such a joy to possess, but it's not something that you're able to possess on your own. I need you to understand that. Once again, the poor in spirit is to be broken, to be bankrupt, poverty. And this is talking spiritually. You see, we need to understand that the only way that we can be rich in spirit is to know Jesus as our Savior and walk with Him. Accept Him, accept His truth. All things are His. And so we need to understand that. So blessed here again means to be happy. And we need to be joyful, but we need to come with a broken heart, knowing who we are, what we're made of, and that God is the only one that can build us up and make us strong. And so we need to be poor in spirit, and that is a self-centeredness. And then blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so in that fourth verse there, how can you mourn or grieve at the same time and still be happy? You know, a person that's saved should be brokenhearted over someone that is not, but it should not bring you grief. In other words, you just don't sit around and weep and cry all the time. I know many folks that I know that have died and went straight to hell because they refused Jesus Christ. I know many people that are alive right down, right here and now, that have refused that gospel. They've refused the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you are condemning yourself to the lake of fire. You're setting your own course, because Jesus gives you a free gift of salvation. But if you reject that gift, you have no hope, no hope whatsoever. And so for us to have a heart that, even though some people are very wicked, some people are very self-centered, they care nothing but except for themselves, it's very hard for us to be concerned about their soul, but we sure should be. And we should understand it's simple to mourn for someone's soul that is a friend, someone that we've known for many years, but they just will not come to the Lord Jesus. But for us to mourn for our enemies, those that fight against us, and yet we still should have a heart, a yearning for them to be born again, be saved, and begin to walk with Him. The Lord Jesus will give us comfort, even though we are brokenhearted over those that have rejected His free gift of salvation. And so those are a couple of things, as well as this, the meek here that we have looked at. And again, so poor in spirit, those that mourn, and then here is the meek. And all three of these are listed in Isaiah concerning the coming of the Messiah. And that is in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Let's go back and read that precious scripture, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So you see, those three are listed in Isaiah, but that is talking about our Lord and Savior. We can enjoy His presence, His power, and His strength. Blessed, happy are the meek. And again, that word meek is to be gentle and humble. Poor is a word that falls into that same category as meek, but it means to, again, to be gentle, to be humble, to be mild, and it, again, is very, very opposite of pride. I don't like to repeat myself, but some of these things need to be repeated because we really lose track of who we should be and how we should act as a Christian, as a believer. And so we need to kind of go over these things over and over again. And maybe you don't even know Jesus as your Savior, but you're trying to live up to these requirements, and they're not their attitudes, their characters, their way of life, and it's a way that is joyful. And so I hope that you know the Lord Jesus. I hope that you walk with him, but if you do not, please come by faith and trust in him today. And so, again, with this comes, then it denotes liberty and freedom, and it makes us able to walk each day. It is all to the glory of God, and it all includes a gentleness, a patience, and endurance. What a list of wonderful words here. And we have also in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house, and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man and then the spoil of the house?" I think we found out that the last time we were together, that scripture verse, as we look at the joy and the power, we find that if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. We're speaking up here of Beelzebub and how that they desire that the pride of man that's how they talk to the Lord Jesus. They think that the Lord Jesus has that power, and it is not true at all. And we need to all the glory needs to come to God, not to the devils, as they were. Giving the thought to insinuate that Jesus was doing it by some other power. He was doing it by the power of God. And we can kind of back up here in the earlier in this part to kind of help you with this. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Did not give God the glory. We always need to give God the glory, and we will give God the glory if and when we have the meekness and to have a meek spirit, as the scripture calls for here. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What a wonderful promise we are given. Israel is who the Lord Jesus is speaking to here, and it's clear that they have not received this promise of inheriting the earth, as is said here. They at one time only owned a small portion. They never have held the section that God wanted to give them in the first place. They only started with a small portion of that, and now it's littler than that. There is such a small area there that was given to them in 1948 for their land. They possess the land. It was a completion of a prophecy. They're back in their land. It's wonderful to know that God is good to his word. But the promise of them to inherit the earth is still coming, and it will come, but it has not been fulfilled to this time. Now, we are a heavenly people, and so we're going to leave this earth. The land, the material land, is promised to Israel. And so we've got a couple of verses of Scripture here that we're going to look at, and one of them is Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then we come to the 10th verse of that same chapter. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we're going to enjoy that time with our Lord and Savior. And so what a joy it is to have the new heaven and the new earth. And we too will enjoy that with the nation of Israel. And so what a hope. You know, the nation of Israel was promised the land. If they would stay faithful to God, he would give them this land. He gave it to them, sectioned it off by their families. But they very quickly decided to not listen to God, not follow his instructions and direction to where they could enjoy the peace and the joy. And so it came to a point where God took them out of the land, took them to Babylon, scattered them. After the Lord Jesus was here on earth for 33 years, died on the cross and rose again, was here for 40 days after the resurrection. But it wasn't long, because they ignored and rejected the Savior himself, the Lord Jesus. They continued to offer up sacrifices and things of that sort. So it wasn't long in that God came down, allowed Rome to come in and destroy the city of Jerusalem, including the temple. And so as we look at things like that has taken place, it is the reason that they do not have the land right now, speaking of Israel, is because of their disobedience. There will be a time God will bring them back. That'll be done during the tribulation period. So what a joy to search the Word of God and to enjoy the Word of God. Blessed are they which are hungry and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hungry. When we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, we establish a thirsting, a hunger for righteousness. It is a life that God has placed before us. It didn't exist before. We may want to live right, but in order to be born again, in order to have this desire, says to be blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you're born again, when you come by faith to Jesus, you acquire a desire to study the Word of God, to search it, to learn more about the Lord Jesus. What a joy it is to do just that. To search and to study every day. It is wonderful to come by faith to Jesus, to trust in him, to walk with him, and then get to know him in a greater way every day. And that'll come, and the more you enjoy the Word of God, and as we said at the very beginning concerning the church, being in church and having a fellowship together with believers. And it's so important that you find a soul-winning, Bible-preaching church. We use the old King James Bible. We don't use anything besides that. And we come and we study the precious Word, and it's such a joy. And the more you study, the more you want to study. The more you learn, the more you want to learn. And it just continues. And so this language here, this hunger, brings a very strong and a very natural expression or desire. And that's what comes when you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you don't know the Lord Jesus. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You say, well, I don't like the King James Bible because it's too old-fashioned. I want something new. Well, the Lord Jesus is not too old-fashioned. He died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, and you need to come His way, not your way. Don't accept another scripture verse, another version, another opinion of some man. The Word of God tells us you must be born again, John chapter 3. Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it begins with the heart. You need to confess with the mouth, but believe in the heart. You see, it's more than just something to do, and it comes by being convicted. You need to experience the Holy Spirit touching your heart, tugging on that heart, and you saying yes. That's the difference besides you saying just yes, I am a believer, yes, I am a Christian, and have not experienced the Holy Spirit. If you have not experienced the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, you are not born again. And so this true child of God will, by his new nature, hunger and thirst for that which is right. On the other hand, if you're not born again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, you will not have that desire. Those who naturally hunger and thirst after righteousness are meek, they're mourners, and they're pure in heart. And they truly are blessed. They are happy. Why? Because they are filled. They are filled. And that's what it says in the end of verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or satisfied. Filled signifies a satisfying with food. And so when you eat, and you for your sustaining your body, you eat the food. And when you have eaten an amount, you're satisfied. And normally, after being satisfied, then it's time to take a nap, because we get our stomachs full, and then it's time to rest and relax a little bit. We need to understand that as we need to eat breakfast, dinner, and supper, we also need to satisfy, we need to have that hunger, that thirst, and we need to do something about it. Search the Word of God. Don't miss a Bible study at church. And we have studies here on Sunday morning with Sunday school, verse by verse, and the preaching time. And then Sunday night, we once again come together for a verse-by-verse study. Tuesday afternoon, there's a verse-by-verse study with the ladies' Bible study. Then back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we also then have a verse-by-verse study. You see, we believe in feeding the sheep. Feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed my lambs, the Scripture tells us. That's what was commanded, and we should do that. And so when you feed something, when I feed the animals, I expect them to eat it because they need it. I don't give them more than they need, more than they can consume. I just give them enough so they can grow and be healthy. It's the same way in teaching the Word of God. We need to teach the Word of God so that folks become healthy spiritually. Many people are literally starving to death spiritually. They trusted in Jesus maybe many years ago, but they stayed in an old liberal church or didn't go to church at all. Said, I don't think I need that. Yes, you do. You need a church. You need to come by faith to Jesus and walk with Him each and every day. So please trust in Jesus as your Savior. Walk with Him each and every day. And feed upon His Word, as you do have breakfast, dinner, and supper. Feed upon His Word. Enjoy His Word. It's a privilege to study the Word of God. Psalms 107, verse 9 says, "For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." What a joy. What a joy. Next is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy, compassion, and it needs to come in word and in deed. Compassion. God's mercy is great. And we find that in Numbers 14, 18 and 19. Let's look at these scripture verses. Book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 14, Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven thy people from Egypt even until now. And so it begins up here, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving. What a message that is for us to learn and to see. Let's go to Psalms. His mercy is great. And then we come to the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to the 86th Psalm. Love the book of Psalms, love Proverbs. I hope that you enjoy the Word of God. I get the opportunity to study many areas every single week, and it's such a joy. Psalms 86, verse 5 and 15. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. What a joy. What a joy. It's such a privilege to study the Word of God. Let's see, because I think we're going to find God's mercy is everlasting. And that's in Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. What a promise. How about Psalms 109? God's mercy is good. Psalms 109, verse 21. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. Oh, the joy of God's mercy. And then we'll realize in Luke, so come back to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, we're going to find that his mercy is tender. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from an high, from on high hath visited us, through the tender mercy of our God. Tender mercy. What a joy. Mercy. God's mercy is rich, according to Ephesians 2:4. God's mercy is abundant, according to 1 Peter 1-3. And God delighteth in mercy, Micah 7:18. We will start with an example of God's mercy next time we come together, because it's so important that we enjoy and understand that you would have no salvation, you would have no life, you'll have a terrible life, wasted life, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?